Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I got something for you. Here's the thing. So, my opinion of the...
Hey, for those of you who saw Eddie Murphy in Raw, in the very beginning, going way back, in the beginning, young Eddie Murphy's doing his thing, and his uncle says, "That boy's got talent. He's got talent." So Will Smith with the acting. Oh, wow. We thought he was about to give us something, something that we've been asking for and waiting for. Jason Johnson, I'm just going to get right to it. I'm going to let everybody in on our little text chat, our back and forth. Jason Johnson, you have been dying. You have been dying to weigh in on Jada and Will. So let's just start off. Brother from Another. Welcome to Brother from Another. Good to see y'all. Sirius XM, Channel 85, Peacock TV, YouTube, however you're consuming. We appreciate it. Give us 5 stars. Tell your family, tell your friends. All right, Jason Johnson, go. What do you want to say?
These people owe us money. They owe us money. They owe us time. They owe us video. I am so disgusted. And Michael, first of all, I want to start off by saying this. Anybody out there who says, "I'm tired of Will Smith and Jada," y'all don't need to hear this, okay? Because I am ready to hear them get dragged from here to eternity. They gave us 7 years of lies, okay? I'm perfectly happy for them to get 7 years of hell and dragging on the internet and online. These people portrayed themselves to the public as the perfect modern family. We're progressive, we're open-minded, we're open, we're this, we're that, we let our couple blah, blah, blah. And then we find out they've been lying. This is fraud. If I go to McDonald's and they say, "I'm selling you 100% all beef patties for the last 7 years," and they're like, "Sorry, it was actually mushrooms," that's a lie. These people have been lying to us, which means that all the conversations, all the hits, all the discussions that we've had on this show about the slap last year, the discussions within the black community, all of that is built upon a lie because these two aren't even married. And that to me is worthy of condemnation.
But
that
they are married.
That to me is worthy of shame. That to me is worthy of criticism. I hope Jada's book goes triple, quadruple cardboard. That's what I hope.
Hey, listen, first of all, her book is going straight. It's going straight to the New York Times bestsellers list. That just is. It just is. It's going to do that. That's what it is. I don't know how long it's going to stay there, but it's going there. It's going to sell. Secondly, they are married. Jason, now maybe they're not together, but they're married. See, it's complicated. Hey, are y'all together? Well, not really. Are y'all divorced? No. So y'all married? Yeah. But y'all together? No. Come on, you mean to tell me you're not entertained by the nuance, by the, yeah, you think it's this, but it's that? You're not entertained by the, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Okay, first off, that requires lions and gladiators, okay? And the last time I cared that much about anybody else's relationship status, it was on Facebook in 2008 when you could say together, single, or it's complicated, right? This isn't complicated, yep. It's just a lie. These two, they're not pastors. They're not psychologists. They could have told us 6-7 years ago, "Hey, our brand is going to be, we are a consciously uncoupling group of people who show the rest of America how we can co-parent." That's fine. But Michael, this is the other part that I can get me. I know you understand this. You're a parent. Lots of people we have on the show are parents. They involved their children in this lie, right? They had Willow and they had Jaden out there doing red table talks and stuff like that, perpetuating the lie that they were together and they've been living separate lives. That's the stuff that offends me. dragging Chris Rock's name out there. So now we know basically that Will Smith went on national television, global television, and slapped another black man for his roommate. His non-red paying roommate.
Hey,
this is ridiculous.
Hey, hold on.
And
offensive. Hey, wait a minute. Wait, what wouldn't you do for a roommate? Wouldn't you stand up for your roommate? Your roommate's out there. You wouldn't do something for your roommate? You wouldn't?
Will Smith, I said this a year ago. This was toxic masculinity at its worst, at its most extreme. And actually, this reinforces what I said last year, which is the idea that, like, wait a minute. So this was no longer your wife as far as what she is saying and as far as what you've been able to present. Look, I know people who read Will's autobiography
last year.
See,
that stuff right there.
And this is one of those things.
It's that right there.
Yeah.
It's those pictures.
It's like.
That's weird.
Yeah. So you went and smacked this man and assaulted someone publicly. I understand respect, but again, it's still toxic masculinity. And what really, I'll be honest with you, Holly, and this is no disrespect to Jada Smith, because, Jada Pinkett, I think this is important to understand. She's not some Instagram model who married a rich guy. She's an actress. She's an entertainer. She's a musician. She had a show called Hawthorne on USA for several years. It's not like she's not talented in her own right. But for the last decade, certainly the last 3 to 5 years, her primary content creation seems to be dishing mean things about her marriage, which we now find out wasn't a marriage. And that to me is horrible. Hey, that's the part I can't get with.
I'm not as offended. I'm not offended by that, but I am, I do come away with this whole thing. I come away from this whole episode with great respect for both of their acting abilities. I mean, they sold us. We were sold all the way. Hey, I believe the red table. I was sitting there at the red table. Mom is there, daughter, Jada doing it. Like the deep sensitivity, the looks of concern. I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I believe it. She's being vulnerable. And she appeared to be vulnerable, but not vulnerable about the thing that she just didn't want to share with the rest of the class. Okay, now listen. Now, you may seem like a sensitive guy, and you may seem offended by this, or you sound like you're offended by this. Yeah, then you turn around and put in your feed that you want somebody to lose their livelihood from coaching an NFL team. You're looking forward to firing people on TV, on a radio, podcast, whatever we're doing all of the above. Now you're trying to take somebody's livelihood away, so go ahead. You insensitive person, you. Who do you want to fire now on a Wednesday in October?
This is the beauty of this, Holly. This is why I always say we have to understand, hey, these people are entertainers. Ain't nobody losing their job as an NFL coach who isn't still getting paid. You're going to get paid out the rest of your contract. You're going to get paid out the rest of your contract, probably more than the lowest paid payer on your team. So we got to understand that. The people who need to go, the people who have not earned their paychecks.
Definitely more than
Brandon
Staley player on your team.
With the Chargers. I don't know how many years we're going to waste of Justin Herbert's skill set with this guy who doesn't seem to be able to put it together. Brian Daboll with the Giants. I'm sorry, but this team is a step away from a rebuild. Daniel Jones is not the man. He ain't him. He ain't her. He ain't they. He is nobody. He is not that guy. He is not that person. He's not that player. He's not even just
well
a guy.
Well done.
Okay? He is nothing.
Well
he
done.
Is something
well
on
done.
Saquon Barkley's cleats. That is all Daniel Jones is at this particular point. And Brian Daboll is not going to be the coach to be able to take them out of this. And, of course, my personal favorite, king of all under the buses, the man who has made it his entire career to blame other people for his own bad decision-making mistakes, the man who the past has caught up with him and the future ain't got no place for him, Sean Payton, who has talked cash money nonsense since this summer about anything and everybody and has led the Broncos to a 1-5 record.
So why you got Bill Belichick and you have two asterisks next to Bill Belichick's name? What's that all about?
Because I think Bill Belichick might be in the Greg Popovich territory, which is Popovich, we don't know if the game has passed him by yet, right? He couldn't seem to work things out with Kawhi Leonard. I don't know, a lot of people can't seem to work things out with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard doesn't seem to know if he likes getting on the court or if he just likes apples. We don't know about Kawhi Leonard. So we'll see if Greg Popovich can have a second, third, fourth renaissance of his coaching career with Wimby this season. If he turns Wimby into a rookie of the year kind of player, then okay, then maybe Greg hasn't lost his step. Bill Belichick, I put in the same category. Matt Jones may not be the man, but that doesn't mean Bill Belichick can't coach anymore. You're coming after Tom Brady. It's going to be hard to find another franchise quarterback. I don't think 1.5 sort of mediocre seasons since Tom Brady left means that Belichick can't coach. It doesn't mean that suddenly the Belichickian way doesn't make any sense. You also happen to be in a really, really tough division. You have a great defense with the Jets. You have a juggernaut with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And then you have the Miami Dolphins, who, as long as they can get 12 good weeks out of Tua, maybe 12, at most 12, they might be the most explosive offense we've seen since, like, the 98 Minnesota Vikings or the greatest show on turf for Kurt Warner. So I don't think Belichick needs to be out of a job just yet. But these other folks, they don't know what they're doing.
So you're the problem. You're the problem with American culture right now. You're the problem with the culture. Right now, you're just ungrateful. You put Brian Daboll on the list. You realize this time last year, the Giants of 2022 were expected to perform like the Giants of 2023. We all knew they were bad. We all knew Brian Daboll did a wonderful job with a not-so-talented team. He was Coach of the Year last year with a team that overperformed. And now that his team is playing to expectations, we get headlines like that, that the honeymoon is over, heading for the hot seat. This is why the Giants are quietly a bad organization, too. We always make fun of the Jets. But the Jets haven't won it. The Giants have won 2 Super Bowls in the last 15 years. So we praise them, two in the last 16, 17 years. But they're stupid. And then, come on. They weren't supposed to be good. And now that they're bad, like they're supposed to be, like they were supposed to be last year, now we go change it around. They performed out of order last year. 22 was supposed to be 23 and vice versa. They got it wrong. They were confused wires and signals. And neurons were crossed with the Giants. Ah, Jason, I'm so disappointed.
See, Holly, out of order is giving me my ice cream before my T-bone steak. That's out of order, okay? Out of order is watching Revenge of the Sith instead of A New Hope. That's out of order, okay? Having a great team that makes the playoffs your first year, and then they stink it up the next year, that ain't out of order. That's bad coaching. And when you recognize that you pay $60 million to a highly mediocre quarterback who doesn't take nearly as much heat as he should, given how much money they paid him, that is also a coaching issue. I ask you this, because I can tell you what the identity is of the Vikings. I can tell you what the identity is of a team like the Colts. I can even tell you what the identity is of the Houston Texans. What's the identity of the Giants other than blue and begging for Saquon Barkley to show up? Nothing. They have no identity. Well, and that's a coaching issue. I should know who you are. Detroit has an identity. The Giants have no identity.
All right. Well, listen, speaking of identity, since you gave us the Star Wars reference, who's the resistance? Who's the empire in this whole House Speaker episode? Jim Jordan out there begging. Ain't too proud to beg, begging for votes. So what's going on here? Some people are supporting Jordan. Some people are mad that this vote is taking place in the first place. They didn't want Kevin McCarthy out. What's going on in the GOP?
You know what? This is our next Jordan who's having his last dance, because this guy is dead. It's like, literally, this happened about 10, 15 minutes before the show started. Jim Jordan is not going to end up being Speaker of the House. And we should all be incredibly thankful for this. One, because of his history. This is a man who, even when he first ran for office, you have multiple Ohio State wrestling college players who come forward to say that they told him that they were being subjected to sexual abuse by a coach when he was on the coaching staff, and he did nothing. Didn't just gaslight them, didn't just report it, said nothing as young men under his care were being sexually assaulted, and has refused to say anything or come clean about it after all these years, despite a massive investigation, despite these young men coming forward at great risk to their personal privacy and safety later on. So if I can't trust you to look after college players who are under your care, how the heck am I supposed to trust you to be third or fourth in line to protect this nation to protect this nation if you become Speaker of the House. Here's the other thing about Jordan. This man is knee deep all the way up to his rolled up sleeves in the January 6th attempted insurrection. I don't want an insurrectionist running things. You don't want Darth Vader being there working with the rest of the rebels to come up with the plans. Why? Because he's part of the Empire. Now, I don't think Jim Jordan has enough force to do anything except roll up the sleeves on a regular basis, but he clearly doesn't have the force to get anybody else on his team to like him. He is probably the most disliked leader we have seen in the probably in the last 10 to 12 years when it comes to Congress. He's worse than Ted Cruz, and that takes work.
Y'all see how he just did that? I gave him the Star Wars. He gave us the Star Wars thing. I gave it back to him, and then he just kind of repurposed it and did that. Wow, very impressive. All right, last thing, because this is probably what I disagree with you most on. You have a problem that the NBA season is about to start. It's October. It's about time for the NBA season to start in October, late October, early November. Do you think the season starts too early? What? What's that? What's all this? What's all this yawning?
Look, I've said before, I am in favor of contraction with the NBA season, or perhaps turning the season into something like you have with the English Premier League, where if you don't make the playoffs after a certain number of years, you get pushed out of the league and you have to fight your way back into it. Because at 82 games, first off, we have a lot of players who can't seem to make 82 games anymore. I don't blame them for it. The physicality of this game today, no, it's not like the NBA in the 1980s before people start commenting, but the kind of ground they have to cover, the kind of effort that they have to put into the game is much different. You are chasing the whole court nowadays. You didn't have to chase the whole court in 1987. I'm just saying, it's a different kind of game. I think the NBA season should basically start on Christmas. That's the first day I pay attention to it anyway, because the first 6 or 7 weeks, people are really just playing themselves into shape. As excited as I am about seeing Giannis and Dame play together, as excited as I am to see LeBron and the rest of his team actually try and accomplish something one way or another, I don't care until Christmas. Most people don't care until Christmas. There's much better basketball to be watching, with the WNBA. You can watch international ball. I just really think the league starts way too early. And we know, because home court advantage has become less and less important over the last couple of years in the playoffs, most teams don't even try until you start getting to the All-Star break.
Oh, see, this is crazy. This is just crazy. Okay, you know what? Gary, let's just take a break. Because now, I mean, there's so many. Here it is, Doc Johnson. It all sounds like when you say it, it all sounds good. Whether I agree with it or not, it sounds good. But then I want to go in and be like, but what about this? What about that? I want to go in and just like, and we can spend a whole show doing that. So I'll let you get that off your chest. You feel good. The number one thing is Will and Jada has been on your mind for a long time. It's been on your mind for a long time. I'm glad you were able to share that with the public. When we come back, we're going to talk with Liv Moods. You're not ready for the Liv Moods. Liv Moods has been keeping a secret
I'm so looking forward to this. I'm a fan of hers, so this is going to be great.
And then y'all going to have some apology tour, too. I know that. The apology tour is coming.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, so welcome back to the show. Liv Moods is here. And so, Liv, I got to tell you, Jason, you got to know this too. We were in Stanford. I was in Stanford yesterday meeting with the BFA crew. Had a great time. Had dinner. Had drinks. Great time. I didn't partake in the drinks. I was driving. So I don't know what happened. I think everybody got back. The show's on the air. So I think everybody held it together. But in the midst of this great time, we were talking about people we respect and people we like. And your name came up, Liv. And they were like, yeah, Liv, you know, she's a gambling expert. I said, what? Hold on.
That's Liv a big Moods? Word, expert. Woo.
I said, That's wait a word. Minute. Liv Moods is a gambling expert. I knew she was my people, but oh, whoa, wait a minute. How have we not talked about this? Liv, we haven't talked about this. This is your passion? This is your passion?
Hey, listen, yes, I love gambling. Aside, I love,
Ashley Nicole Moss.
That's how I got in this space to begin with was sports betting. I had graduated a TCU, as you know, during the pandemic, and no sports were happening, but people were betting on Russian table tennis. So it was like the most random things. People were grasping at straws to try to keep sports in their life. And so it was kind of my only opportunity to do what I wanted to do as a sports host, broadcaster, content creator. So I jumped in head first, and here we are now, 3 years into it, and still loving it and still betting and still losing money and winning money. And it's, you know, so, it's a great time.
So listen, just between us, between you, me and Jason, what's up tonight? I mean, you got any tips for us? Like what, you know, give me like something I can, you know, put a little something on, you know? Yeah, make a little
money. You know, nothing for tonight, but I'll tell you, I feel really good about a Chargers cover this weekend against the Chiefs in a divisional spot. I think the Chiefs are a little underwhelming this year. I think they're still a great squad, but there's something about what the Chargers were doing against the Cowboys that was exciting to watch, and their defense looked like it stepped up. They were sacking the heck out of Dak Prescott, and I really, really like what I think they can do in a divisional spot. So I like the Chargers to cover. That's the one I know I like right now, so I'll give you that much.
All right, hold on, Jason, because Liv mentioned the Cowboys, and I want to get you both weighing in on this. Micah Parsons had his podcast, and Micah Parsons, you know, essentially saying, hey, listen, y'all, you go ahead, you can be a critic, but I just want you to have some even distribution in your criticism. Here's Micah Parsons talking about what he sees as a double standard.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. We want the same energy for everybody because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles. So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk, but there's 100 excuses for these other teams? If y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. I'm tired of people trashing my quarterback. I'm tired of people trashing my team. And that's why I had nothing to say to the media this week.
All right. So, yeah. So Micah Parsons, the prophet Micah, says, hey, that's not fair. Hey, Eagles lost too. Eagles lost. Y'all ain't going at them like y'all went at us. And I see so many contradictions and so many loopholes in the argument. But Liv and Jason, I'll let y'all take it. What do you make of Micah Parsons and the criticism?
Take it away, Jason. I'll back you
Start
up.
Start with Liv. I'm going to say this, okay? The prophet Micah should definitely sit back and take a look at the book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers tells you that Dak's only got one significant playoff win, and that's by beating the Seattle Seahawks when Pete Carroll was being outcoached as per the usual with Russell Wilson, which always happens in the playoffs. Dak has massively underachieved. Dak is basically Kirk Cousins in a prettier uniform. Dak is pretty much the same as Derek Carr. Dak is pretty much the same as a whole slew of middle-class, low-interest-rate mortgage quarterbacks that are in the NFL that happen to benefit from having great brands, but not a lot of product on the field. So, of course, you're going to take that kind of heat. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback. He's MVP quality. He took his team to the Super Bowl last year. He's having a little bit of an offseason, but he's been great when it comes to fantasy football, and he's more of a leader. So I don't know why anybody would be confused as to why the Dallas Cowboys are taking this kind of heat. And let's not even get started about Jerry Jones and all the racist nonsense he said on a regular basis. They're lucky that we focus on the play on the field, because we've talked about the people who actually ran that organization. They would take more heat than they can stomach.
Well, I'm not sure how to follow that one up. That was pretty eloquently yeah. stated. But
tough.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think here's the issue is that wins matter. Obviously, every win matters. This is me speaking as a Broncos fan. Trust me, I know how bad they matter and how bad that they, you know, the losses also matter. But the thing is about the Cowboys, we hear them running their mouths. We hear the fan bases running their mouths time and time again. But if you don't win when it matters, I don't really care. I think that there is so much to say about a quarterback that can be successful on a do or die, you know, stage in a must win situation. Pressure matters, not just pressure from a defense, but can you perform on the biggest stage possible? And Dak Prescott has yet to prove that. So, and I do understand the frustration of, hey, we got to have the same tone of voice about Dak Prescott that we do for other quarterbacks. I have mentioned this right on Brother from Another when we were talking about Josh Allen. Listen, I am not going to make excuses for Josh Allen turning over the ball if I don't make excuses for Dak Prescott. So I agree in that sense, but you're comparing apples to oranges here when you look at this Eagles team yeah. versus this Cowboys team. They've made it to the biggest stage. They've made it to a Super Bowl. They've won their division. They've won their conference championship. So it's really, again, I don't think this is a good timed podcast either, considering they could not be competitive against the 49ers team like at all. So it's like, yes, you did get a win. Dak Prescott had a good performance, but guess what? You were also playing the Chargers, who play zero pass defense. So I would hope that Dak Prescott had a good game, or that you got a dub, or that you won, in a primetime game. But again, against the 49ers, the best team right now in the NFL, you couldn't compete at all. It was an absolute curb stomp. So
always. And look, you're absolutely right. Liv and Jason, you're both right. And I'll say, it's nice that Micah Parsons is defending his quarterback. That's good. That's a good teammate. That's being a good teammate. But when you play for the Dallas Cowboys, there really is not going to be a, hey, why not do the same thing to them that you do to us? Well, that's kind of the gift and curse of being a member of the Dallas Cowboys. The standards are different. The scrutiny is different, not only in Texas, but around the country. There are Cowboys lovers. There are Cowboys haters. And the attention is going to be on you at all times. And you didn't just lose. You lost to the team that you have been looking forward to playing on a national stage, Sunday Night Football, 42-10. You lost 42-10 in a game. This was supposed to be your revenge. You're going to avenge your playoff loss, and it was worse. It was worse than the actual playoff loss.
Listen, now, if you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. If you want to be America's team, it's going to come with some extra, you know, criticism. And if you can't handle that, then maybe the Detroit Lions should be America's team. Oops.
Well, they are. They're BFA's team.
That's what I think. Now, I agree.
Now, what I want to know from y'all, just real quick, can the defense rest, by the way? Because, like, this court case has been going on for a long time. Hey, the jury wants to go. We're ready for a resolution. As a matter of fact, the jury has figured it out. It's unanimous. We got it. Your Honor, we got it. But can the Russell Wilson defenders, you, Jason, you, Liv, can y'all stop? After I'm talking about Russell Wilson, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Russ don't play defense. Then he went out and gave us 95 yards and two picks in an actual football game. It was horrible on a Thursday night. Ruined everybody's long weekend. Thanks, Russ. Terrible. Can y'all stop? Are we done now? Is the case? We rest our case?
No.
Oh, we ain't done yet? No. We ain't done yet.
I am the Johnny Cochran in this situation here, okay? And if the shoe don't fit, okay, if the offense don't fit, if the defense don't work, you must acquit. Russell Wilson, I'm not saying he's the greatest ever. I'm never going to make that argument one way or another. But we have seen such ridiculously incompetent coaching on the part of Sean Payton. We have seen such terrible coaching on the part of Vance Joseph. I'm not holding any of those players accountable for the mess that we see at 1-5. Let's talk about culture first, because that's the first thing that Sean Payton was supposed to fix. He came in talking nonsense about everybody, spitting lines against Nat Hackett, spitting lines against Russell Wilson. That man came out of the media. He knew what he was saying. Does that team rally around him? Did anybody on that team say, hey, we got to win against the Jets because we don't want our coach Sean Payton to look bad? No, that offensive line was trash. No, the defense was bad as usual. Then what do we see? Vance Joseph lets people put up 70 on him. I thought they were playing against Kobe Bryant because I don't know anybody else who just puts up 70 like that. And Vance Joseph didn't get fired. No consequences. Then you got reports out there from the team that people are saying they don't like him. That in the locker room, they're calling him Vic Fangio Part 2. Russell Wilson's numbers have been consistent. If you thought a 34-year-old quarterback was going to fill all the holes in your team, I got something else to tell you. You're not going to do that. The team's got Swiss cheese issues. But it starts at the top. It's rather at the top. I'd fire Sean Payton to start over if I could, but ain't nobody going to do that because it's always easier to blame the quarterbacks, especially when they're black. Shout out to Justin Fields, who got the same kind of hell, and Trey Lance.
Yeah. I mean, listen, as a Broncos fan, I got to tell you, there are so many layers to what's going on here. And you mentioned starting at the top, and you mentioned Sean Payton. It actually goes further than that. Our front office has been a mess for years. And when they make a poor decision, it doesn't just affect that season. We've had front offices for the past 5 years, for the past decade, actually, since John Elway sold his soul for a Super Bowl, that have just been making poor decision after poor decision. And it's setting us back years and years and years. And this has been an ongoing issue. And here's what I'm going to tell you about Russell Wilson. People were still blaming Wilson when he was putting up excellent numbers in the first 5 games of the season. He has one bad game and everyone's like, Russ, Russ, Russ. It's been about Russ. We've been making it about Russell Wilson this whole season, and Russ hasn't even been the problem. And what I'm going to tell you is this is absolutely, without a doubt, a culture issue. When I see that only one unit on this Broncos team can be successful at one time on the field, there's clashing in the locker room. The practice, there is no chemistry. They are not gelling. And to me, that is a coaching problem. I think that Russell Wilson is an excellent quarterback, but he's the type of quarterback that you plug into an already successful system. The Broncos had so many wounds before Russ even got there that it's not really fair to say, well, why didn't you fix everything? Because he can't fix everything. There were so many problems before Russ even got there. Vance Joseph, to me, was the worst hire that the Broncos have already tried things with Vance Joseph. That's what people don't understand. People are forgetting we've already done this with Vance Joseph before. What made Sean Payton think or believe that that was going to be a good idea? I think anyone would have been better than Vance Joseph. So to me, Russell Wilson doesn't deserve scrutiny as a quarterback himself because he's the type of quarterback. He's excellent. He's got the skill. He's got the talent. But he needs to be plugged into an already successful system. I'm talking defense, coaching, offense, front office, everything. And we plugged him into a system that had so many wounds, and we were expecting Russ to be the Band-Aid. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. So he has had excellent games all season up until this last game. And honestly, he's probably getting checked out. He's probably running out of steam. He's probably just as frustrated as we are because when he's been playing well, nobody else has been showing up. Now, all of a sudden, we get a somewhat competent defense, and Russ is like, it's just, it's a mess. It's a mess. There were too many issues to begin with. It was not, it's not all on Russ, that's for sure. I really don't think so.
All right, listen, I appreciate the loyalty and the fandom, the fandom that you both have. You just will not stop. But I'll get it. Listen, I want to bring in, I want to change directions here because this is a topic, it's a serious topic that I want all of us to weigh in on. I want to hear you, Liv, with Natalie and you, Jason, as well. Kaiser Gondrzik, WNBA player, former WNBA player, or WNBA player who we thought, I want to be sensitive to her comments. She posted something on X, formerly known as Twitter. She posted something talking about her situation being used to fulfill somebody else's agenda and somebody else's narrative. And she didn't say these things about Kevin Porter Jr. She didn't say that Kevin Porter Jr., to quote her, balled up his fist and punched her repeatedly in the face. She didn't say that certain injuries were caused by Kevin Porter Jr. And I just want to ask you all, and I don't know what happened. We really don't know what happened, but I do know this. Historically, there is a strong percentage, a high percentage of victims of domestic violence who will say one thing initially that is their truth or the truth, and then after further reflection, for a number of reasons, will then take that back and say, hey, that's not actually how it happened, and leave us alone. I just wonder how, I want to get just opinions around the room. Just what you think of this story, what your first thought is when you hear it and you see it playing out like this. Natalie, I'll start with you.
Yeah. I think what's important to note about her tweet, what she put out, and anytime she's on some level tried to push back against what's out there, is that she's never once said that something didn't happen. What she said is it's being mischaracterized, or like she didn't say that. So maybe she said something different, you know? So, but she's never actually said there was not an incident that occurred where I was not harmed, right? So she hasn't actually refuted that. Her sister has come out and put out statements on social media that don't align with her. And in addition, like you already said, Holly, this is something often that victims of domestic violence do. So I'm not surprised by her commentary at all. There were also the fact that like one of the assault charges was dropped. And so a lot of people started running with like, oh, you know, like calm down. We don't need to like jump to conclusions. But I'm going to tell you, I'm very comfortable saying that Kevin Porter Jr. should be out of the NBA. I believe that he abused his partner. It was not the first incident. There was a police report. Hotel employees found her. There was a hospital report. The DA is still proceeding with charges. And while the assault charge, because they discovered there's no broken bone in her neck, was dropped, there's still assault charges for strangulation, and her eye, you know, she had bruises. So that happened from someone. She didn't do it to herself. So someone abused her, and I believe the right and correct person is being charged, and we'll see it play out. But he has no business being in the NBA, and that's where I stand on this.
Liv or Jason?
I agree. I mean, I think her, you know, kind of, I don't want to say deflecting, but getting down to the nitty gritty of the details, closed fist versus open fist, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. When there is a police report, there are witnesses, there are hotel employees that saw something go down. Abuse is abuse. There's not a single man in this world that should be aggressively putting his hands on a woman. Ever, point blank, period. There is no excuse for it. So I think when you start seeing victims of domestic abuse, and I don't want to speak for her because, again, these situations are very difficult to talk about when we don't know every layer of what happened, right? I wasn't there. I didn't witness it. I can only go off of what I see as fact, which is charges, witnesses, hospital statements, as Natalie alluded to. So I can't act like I was there, but what I do know is abuse, and there was clearly a level of that that went down that night. And I think that when we start seeing victims going back and clarifying little details and trying to fact check and whatever, it's to eliminate as much scrutiny that the abuser will receive. But regardless, to me, a little detail as a closed fist versus open fist, a this versus that, it really doesn't matter to me. Abuse is abuse. There's levels to it, of course. But in this situation, I think that the details right now, to me personally, just don't matter. It's simply put, he put his hands on his partner in an aggressive way, which is never okay. And he shouldn't be playing in the NBA. And I think that right now, more than ever, the NBA needs to be very careful about how they handle these things moving forward, because we are seeing it more and more. We saw with Miles Bridges that he was back in the NBA before we know it. Now he's arrested again. Now the NBA looks like Boo Boo the Fool, because guess what? You let this man go back on a court, get back in a practice facility, play basketball with his teammates again. And guess what? There's now a mugshot of him smiling all over the place. And it's like, it's one of those situations where every move is going to matter with how the NBA handles this as it progresses, regardless of the information that comes out. Because now we're seeing it kind of bite the NBA in the butt a little bit with a Miles Bridges situation. So I hope they do the right thing. And I think that there's no room for play. There's enough talent in the NBA. You don't need a guy like that. You're not losing anything by eliminating KPJ out of this league. You're just not.
Doc Johnson.
Or Miles Bridges.
I have to say, I have a tremendous amount of empathy for anyone who is a victim of sort of domestic violence, whether it's verbal, financial, or physical. And I also empathize with what she's doing, because as a WNBA player, as a young woman, as a young Black woman, she has seen how social media and the press and ignorant commentators will often attack Black women for coming forward or playing any role in holding a Black man accountable for physical abuse. I mean, there are people who came after Megan Thee Stallion. She got shot in the foot. So, of course, this woman is probably concerned. Of course, she's thinking, I don't want this to be my reputation. And this is, and I've almost never said this, but I got to be honest. This is one of the few areas where I am generally pleased with our criminal justice system in America. And that is the fact that in states like Massachusetts, Colorado, New York, several other states, that the state can continue with a prosecution of domestic violence, even if the likely victim wants to recant or does not want to participate in the process. And these laws were put in place because women who were victimized would often fear retaliation and they wouldn't want to come forward. So the state can say, look, we get it. We get it. You have a story. You're afraid. You think this person will come back and harm you. You think it'll harm you professionally. We will pursue this anyway. And that's what we see happening here. I hope that in more instances that the state is this concerned about people who aren't famous, that the state is concerned about the woman who's a single mother of four children who gets beaten by her partner, that the state is still concerned about the young trans person who's beaten by their partner, because that's what our system is supposed to do. It is supposed to protect people who are likely victimized, even if they don't want to see themselves or don't want to be known as victims.
Michael, can I just say one thing really quickly?
Yeah. Final word. You got the final word, Natalie. Good.
Yeah. As you know, I revealed before that I've been in an abusive relationship before. And so one of the things is, like, the reason why I don't even like to say her name, because, like, victims of domestic violence, they're supposed to be discussed with privacy, right? Their names aren't even supposed to be revealed. But because who the player is, and because she's a WNBA player, she's already lost the ability to even do that, right? So, this is when you go through something like that, oftentimes you feel a lot of different emotions. Besides fear, there is embarrassment, shame, a plethora of things. So when Jason says, like, she doesn't want to be known for that, I don't know her personally, but that is often a feeling that people have. Like, you don't want people to know this about you. You think you did something wrong. It's embarrassing. You know, like, my family didn't even know. Like, no one knew. Like, I didn't tell anyone for years and years and years. So it's not something you want out there about yourself, especially depending on how you're perceived. So, you know, again, I do want to respect her in this case. And that's why when she comes out with these statements, it doesn't change my position. But I just want her to get peace of mind and to be safe.
I also think it's worth noting really quickly that she probably does have a lot of love for him, and that, and like, just, and, exactly. And I'm not, obviously, exactly. It's a horrible situation, but when you are with somebody, when you spend time with somebody, when you grow with someone, you become who you are alongside this person. Even when they mess up, you still love them. And so there's probably a layer too of, she doesn't want to see his life ruined. Although she feels the pain, and she is absolutely a victim in this situation, and what he did was absolutely unacceptable, there's also that layer of, I know that this person did something horrible, but I have a lot of love for them. I don't want to see their life ruined. I don't want to see them lose everything they've worked for. I don't, whether or not they deserve it, when you, that feeling of love can overpower a lot of ugly things. And so I think it's also worth drawing attention to the fact that she probably just cares about him. And that makes it, I'm sure, 10 times harder to handle this in the public eye.
Fair point. I appreciate all of you for having this conversation. I think it's important that we have these, truly, these family conversations, especially with subjects that are often just kind of glossed over in the mainstream or flat out ignored. I'm glad that you all didn't ignore it and brought some really important points to the table. So thank you all.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Justin and so good. thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This team is led by committee. A lot of different areas. You know, we have AC leads defensively. Asia leads us emotionally. I think Chelsea leads us more X's and O's and, you know, getting people where they're supposed to be. So, like I said earlier, it's not going to be one person that, you know, attempts to try to fill that gap. It's going to be the team, you know. And, I mean, this team has responded all year. We've been through a lot. I mean, shoot, we've been hurt, sued, arrested, you name it. We've done it. So, like I said, I'm confident in our group, and we've gone through a lot of adversity. We'll be ready.
I'm just going to get right to it. I picked the Aces to sweep the Liberty. That didn't happen. They lose game three pretty convincingly. They didn't get blown out. They lost convincingly. And now going into game four, they're missing Gray and Stokes. Going to game four, where they can win the WNBA Finals. I said not the Aces, Natalie and Jason, but I'm a little worried. Natalie, tell me why I shouldn't worry.
Well, you shouldn't worry because Becky Hammon is a master at adjustments, and Asia Wilson is the best player in the WNBA. But you should worry a little because it's going to be a big task. They already have like a bench, a non-existent bench, really. And so you're going to need some people to step up. But they've, you know, as they've said, like in all these statements, they've been here before in terms of playing all season without key players. So, and they know that they still have one more game after in their home court. So those are all reasons to not be fully worried.
Let's not talk like that. I want to
hear. I know, but I'm just saying, but you know, they're going in to try to get it done tonight. So I'm expecting a big game from Asia. Kelsey Plum is going to step up and play big time. Alicia Clark, sixth player of the year. She's going to come in and fill big shoes, but they have the bodies to get it done, but it's going to be a big challenge.
Jason, call it for us. What do you see here tonight? Game four, WNBA.
Look, anytime
Finals.
You're missing your point guard, and they call him point guard, like when your point guard is that important, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be sort of a difficult challenge tonight. My thought is this, and I say this all the time. I like the Aces because they used to have a problematic player that I was a big fan of. But at the end of the day, I don't see how you can change momentum when you lose key players, you're playing on the road, and this other team, the Liberty, has a chance to tie it up. I just think that's going to be very, very difficult to do. And it's not even a reflection of great strengths and Breonna Stewart and everything else like that with the Liberty. It's just that the hand is theirs right now. But as I often say in these kinds of games where I don't have a massive investment one way or another, I just want a good game. A lot of these games haven't been all that competitive. And even though the WNBA Finals has been the most watched WNBA Finals in the history of the league, which I think is awesome, and a testament to the fact that more and more Americans are recognizing that ball can be played all year and that ball can be played by men and women just as exciting, I don't think these finals have been that exciting. So I'm kind of rooting for the Liberty to win tonight so we can have a longer series and maybe have some slightly more competitive games.
All right. Hey, listen, Natalie, you know who I'm going for tonight. You know who I'm
Aces,
going for.
Baby.
Come on now.
I want to
see it. Just a nice gritty. It don't need to be a great game. Just a nice gritty, a gritty win. Win it by six on the road. Come on. I got money on it, too. I got some money on it.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You were a Fugees fan just like I was back in the day. Love the Fugees, groundbreaking hip-hop group. Shout out Lauryn Hill, of course. But Praz Michelle from the Fugees says he wants a retrial because his attorney used AI for the closing arguments. I meant, like, this is, like, Jason, we have never heard this before. This is hilarious. Your thoughts on this?
I think it's amazing. Like I said, if we call it blame it on the algorithm, okay? First off, if your legal defense can basically be, I don't like the crib notes that my lawyer used, I want everybody out there to ever ask their lawyer, if you've ever gone to trial, hey, did you use LegalZoom, right? Because that's basically what he's saying here. Look, Praz is guilty. Praz is going to jail. He's going to be in jail longer than it took Lauryn Hill to show up for that concert in Newark last night, where she showed up 3.5
hours. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Time.
See, hey, listen. You leave Lauryn out of this. It ain't got nothing to do with Lauryn. Just have some respect. Have some respect for Lauryn Hill. Shame
on you.
I'm
just being honest. We still wait for her to show
up. Oh, come on.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.